And what's up, Pewter peeps? Welcome in to the all-new PewterCast, your number one spot for all things involving your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want to thank our guests from the last few weeks as we have gone through the entire NFC South, Mike Neighbors of Cox Sports Television, Josh Klein, The Riot Report, D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. This is going to be a little different episode this week. Rendax, Steve Carney here with you, as you may notice that guy that is with us. If you're watching us on YouTube or on Periscope, if you're listening to the audio version, you can't see him, but you'll hear him here in just a second. Our friend Matt Baker, who is the college reporter from the Tampa Bay Times, is with us here this week. And I know that we are going to get into something that could affect how things are going to change in the National Football League in years to come because of something that has been granted at the college level. And we'll get into that here in just a second. Matt, I want to say thank you for joining us here on the PewterCast this week. And we always start first-time guests with, it's now your 10th anniversary at the Tampa Bay Times. What do you want? I know, it's amazing to think. You know, how is your job changed and your responsibilities changed in those 10 years? Because things have gotten so different here over the last decade.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. Thanks for having me on, first of all. So I came here in the summer of 2011. I was covering high schools in Pasco and Hernando as part of a, would we have 2, 4, 6, 7 people covering high school, something like that, across the area. And my territory was Pasco and Hernando. Did that for a couple of years, then moved to Hillsborough for a year. Did a year where I know Steve as a kind of backup Bucks, Rays, and Lightning guy, kind of playing whatever that's, you know, whatever needed to do that week. And then in 2015, I kind of moved into the role I have now, which is full-time college football. And I'll still help on other stuff. You know, I do most of our, or almost all of our auto racing coverage, for instance. You know, help out with Lightning, Bucks here and there, just a tiny bit as needed. But college football is my bread and butter. Look, it's what I've loved since I was a kid. And that's what I'm thankful, very, very thankful to be doing now as I start, you know, after 10 full years now, the Times.
You know, it's amazing to think, and I know it says on your bio on Twitter, and again, you can follow Matt on Twitter at MBakerTBTimes, that you get to vote for the Heisman every year. What is that? What is, you know, how does that work out? Like, you know, when you're going through your list, you know, is that, you know, how I, because I'm sure you also do your voting for the top 25 every week, and you have to do all, you know, all of the stuff that goes along with being a full-time college football writer and insider, you know. But when it comes to, you know, I get a chance to vote for the biggest you know, the biggest prize in college, you know, individual prize in college sports. You know, that's gonna be quite a responsibility and quite a privilege to be able to do.
It is, and it's something I take very, very seriously. Look, I have a lot of respect for the award, and shoot, I just, you know, with the 10-year anniversary, it just makes you do a lot of thinking the last couple of days, and I am so insanely lucky. Like, well, I got married 10 years ago, and it'll be 10 years in December. We had, the groom's cake at my wedding was the Heisman Trophy. Like, that's how much I love college football. That's what I do. Nice. And then for a couple years after that, to become a Heisman Trophy voter, in addition to AP Top 25 and less, I am insanely lucky and fortunate. And I don't take this stuff for granted. I don't take this stuff lightly. So when it comes to the Heisman specifically, over the course of the season, I'll kind of have a running list in my head. You know, there will be times when I'm watching games at either in the press box, at halftime, before game, after game, whatever it is, or at home. I need to make sure I watch this team because of this quarterback. I want to make sure I see a good sample size of this guy because he might be on my Heisman ballot. So I do that as much as I can. And then when it comes time to actually vote, I wait till, you know, the end of the regular season or the end of the conference championship game. And then I will jump in, and really on that Monday, and just come up with a short list. All right, these are the 10 guys, 12 guys, whatever it is. And then I will clear off my schedule. That is what I'm doing today. I'm coming up with my top three. That's what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything else, nothing else to distract me, because that's how serious and important it is.
I was going to say, how large of a grouping do you have to start the season? Like, do you think, now, do you look and say 25? Do you start at 10 and then take off and add as necessary?
Yeah, I don't have, like, right now, I don't have a list. You know, I mean, there's guys that I think are going to be in the mix. Spencer Rattler, the Oklahoma quarterback. Mm. Sam Howell, the North Carolina quarterback. DJ Uiagalelei, the Clemson quarterback. Maybe De'Arik King from Miami. So I've got a list of guys in my head that Breece Hall, Iowa State running back, that would not surprise me at all if they're on there. But, and again, I'll pay attention to these things, but I don't have a list in my head because I don't want to come in with a lot of preconceived notions about how good this guy is and how not, you know, how this guy is not that good. It's not a career achievement award. It's what happens this year. So I want to come in with open eyes this year because there's going to be guys, there happened in the past that I did not expect this person to be on my ballot. Lo and behold, he was.
Just one more before we get into why we had you on here, which of course is the NIL, which is the International Lighting Campaign, Kimberly, image likeness, of course, for college football, and how it's going to change and sort of what the rules are. We're going to, you know, get the listeners to fill in on this. You were just on with Rick Stroud, the Tampa Bay Times reporter, who's been long time in covering the Bucks, and fills in, you know, as you talked about, you did earlier. But as far as the Heisman goes, what player was completely off your radar that climbed the list highest, maybe made it in your top three, but not necessarily, but who was someone that just, you know, somebody that came completely out of nowhere, had no idea like this guy was going to be any good, but made a serious push for you, but, you know, by the season's end?
I mean, Joe Burrow is the obvious one.
Yeah.
I knew who he was, of course. I knew he could be a good player, but I didn't expect him to be one of the, you know, he had one of the best seasons in the history of college football. So that's the one that comes to mind. I liked Lamar Jackson in his 2015 year, the way he ended it with the bowl game against A&M. Like, I pushed my boss early on. FSU played up there, and I think it was in week three. And I pushed my boss in the offseason, hey, send me to Florida State, Louisville. Send me up there. I think Louisville's going to be good. This quarterback, this Lamar Jackson, he's pretty darn good. And, you know, I thought he would be good. I did not think he would be Michael Vick.
Right.
But that's what he was. So, you know, him, he jumps out. Dalvin Cook was another one. I had him number one on my ballot in 2015.
Really?
Look, I saw him. I saw Leonard Fournette. I saw Derrick Henry play the same Gators, really good Gators defense back to back to back. Of those three, yeah, I want Dalvin Cook. I thought he was the best. And again, I knew he was good. It's not like he came out of nowhere. But did I think in August that he would have been number one on my ballot? No, probably not.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's interesting. I'm going to have to go do some research and see who actually won those years. I know you can tell me, but I want to get on to what we're actually here to talk about. Okay, so the NIL, which of course is the name, image, likeness of college football players. Now they can be paid or compensated for, you know, sponsorships. Here's my question. Sort of like tell us what this is in general. And what I really want to focus on is what they sort of can't do, because like, am I going to see at 4:30 on CBS in a couple of Saturdays from now, Emory Jones, every time he sits on the bench, he picks up a bag of Doritos?
That's a specific thing I have not thought about. I think
I have a lot of those questions, by the way, in that vein.
I'm stumped. I'm trying to give a good answer. No, I don't think that could happen without prior approval. So let's just back up a second here.
Yes.
So the general idea of name, image, and likeness is that a college football player should have the opportunity that every other college student does and pretty much every person in this country has, which is the opportunity to make money off of who they are and what they look like and what they do. Mm-hmm. What this is not is colleges paying players directly. This is not Joe Booster coming in. Hey, great job. Great game today, Steve. I appreciate your three touchdowns. Here's a sack of cash. This is not that. This is not the schools taking money from the athletic department, writing a check, $1,000 every week to the quarterback and the running back. This is not that. What this is companies, third parties, it can be a big brand, a deodorant company, whatever, underwear company, nutrition company, or it can be the mom and pop pizza joint, tech company, whatever it is. They can use athletes in social media posts. They can use the athletes in commercials. Athletes can come to their place, sign autographs from 7 to 9, make some money, and bring people to the pizza restaurant. These are the types of examples that is. Quarterback can have a camp in his hometown. All the 7 to 18-year-olds can come throw at his camp, and he can show, oh, well, maybe you should do this instead. And this is the type of example that this name, image, and likeness means. It's not an overarching shift in terms of athletes being able to get money for playing, but this allows them to make money off of being really good at their sport.
Now, let me just follow up on that, because I have a specific scenario. You said that boosters can't just hand Ren a sack of cash because he scored.
That's
not what it's supposed to be. Will that type of thing happen? Yeah, probably. And different, different states have different laws. The NCAA has its own kind of temporary patch. So it is not designed. The idea is not supposed to be that boosters are able to just say, "Hey, good game. Here's some money."
Yeah, but if that booster, say, owns the biggest car dealership in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and starts and has a deal with the university saying that they are the official car dealership of the University of Alabama, and all of a sudden every Alabama player, the quarterback and the running back and the defensive lineman, all of their faces on a big banner that he puts outside of his dealership, and now he's paying these guys a ridiculous amount of money.
Is there a cap?
Yeah, like that's the big question, is what sort of ceiling is there?
So they're supposed to get fair market value. Okay, well, what is fair market value?
So the answer is no.
No, there's not. But depending on, again, this whole thing is so new. What is today? July the 9th. July the 9th. So it's been going on for 9 days. There's still a lot that we don't know and how it will actually look like. Because look, this is supposed to be market value, but there was no market until July 1st.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways there is. A football player, a Instagram star, an actress, whatever, what have you. There's a going rate for if I have 50,000 Instagram followers and I post something and I get this kind of engagement, this is how much money I should get. There is a rate for that. But it hasn't existed in college sports before, at least above board. And so we don't know what it will be, because maybe their market value is a little bit higher, because the value that they can bring to the quarterback at the Gators, the value they can bring to a pizza joint in Gainesville, Florida, is pretty high. So we don't know what the market value necessarily is. I think that's something that's going to be sorted out. But in theory, they're supposed to get fair market value, whatever that ends up being. There's not necessarily a cap, because it's all going to depend on what you do. How many posts are you supposed to do? How many commercials are you supposed to do? What do I expect from you? So that's just going to be one of the things that we figure out as it goes along. And to, I think, kind of your general question, Steve, can a booster and his a booster can't play the players directly. Can a booster's company do that? I think the answer is going to be it depends. It depends on what the deal is. It depends on the state. It depends on that school's rules, because the NCAA basically said, hey, y'all figure this out on your own. You all figure out your own school rules. So that's just going to be something that evolves a little bit. I think in some places you're going to see it. In some cases, Florida State has, for one, has kind of asked the boosters, maybe stay away. Same with the Gators. But it gets dicier if it's their car company or Matt Baker Booster LLC. I'm not paying him. My LLC.
Or Phil Knight at Nike for the University of Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, we just saw one of the bigger deals that was announced, Kayvon Thibodeau, defensive end, D-line out there, I guess kind of edge rusher prospect. He'll be a top three pick. He just signed something. I can't remember all the details, but Phil Knight is involved, but Nike itself isn't necessarily involved. It's a weird kind of there's just a lot of gray area, and it's going to be a lot that is that we're just going to have to figure it out as we go along.
This is going to be a glorious mess. I cannot wait for this.
I just remember, and Ren, you might, and you'll probably remember this because I think we're both considerably older than Matt. That, you know, in the 80s, there were programs that were getting in trouble because, like, I forget if this was at SMU or
yeah,
at
SMU University got
Oklahoma,
the death
penalty. But I forget which it may have been SMU, it may have been Oklahoma under Barry Switzer, but like one of, I think it might be Oklahoma because I think it involved Troy Aikman, where he had a job where all he had to do was turn out the lights at this car dealership, and he made like $100,000 a year to go in there once a week and turn off the lights. That was his job.
I remember, and Brian Bosworth was supposed to show up and watch these oil rigs in Oklahoma just like pump up and down, and he was getting like he was making like 25 grand a week or something. Yeah,
mess.
So this is this. These rules, okay, first off, who wrote these rules? Is this the NCAA did this?
There's a lot of
where did this come from? Is this from the state? Is this, you know?
Yeah, okay. So that's the better answer I can give you. So a couple of years ago, the state of California passed legislation saying we are going to allow our athletes to be paid for their name and gentlemen. And I think the timestamp on that is it was going to start in 2022, so next summer. And then Florida said, aha, well, we'll do you one better than that. And last year, around May, I think it was, Governor DeSantis signed the law that went into effect, and it would go into effect July 1st, 2021. So, okay, the time frame gets pushed up. But this has been in the works for, I mean, years. The NCAA has had time has known that this was something that was going to happen. And then California pushes it, and then Florida pushes it even more. So, you know, at Florida, we are, in our state, we are under, obviously, the Florida law. So that is a little bit different than the California law, which is a little bit different than Alabama, which is a little bit different than South Carolina, whatever it is. And then the NCAA came in literally at the 11th hour. I think it was on the day before everything kind of went public. Said, okay, here is what we're going to do. Schools, y'all do it. If your state has a name, image, and likeness legislation, follow that. If you don't, we're not going to enforce the name, image, likeness rules in the past, and every school for himself. You all figure it out. So that's just led to a lot of things where there's just going to be disagreements in how they do things. And there's an argument to be made, I don't know if I agree with it yet, that Florida schools are at a disadvantage because the state legislation is going to be a little bit stricter than the states that don't have one. So it's all a mess, and there's going to be different states that have rules in terms of boosters, in terms of what how you disclose this, what you have to disclose to the school, in terms of what types of deals are okay. So think about it a different way. If you're a state or if you're a school, yeah, you want your athletes to be able to make money. That's good for them. A car dealer, yeah, that's probably fine. A Publix grocery store, yeah, that's fine. What about alcohol? Is that okay for somebody to endorse? What about some sort of vaping product? What about
DraftKings?
What about DraftKings? What about adult entertainment websites? These are the types of things that, okay, when you start big picture, yeah, this all makes sense. But when you start getting into the nitty-gritty of what everything means, it can get dicey, and different people and different institutions and different states can have different opinions on what's okay and what's not.
I cannot believe the NCAA said we're going to leave it up to each university. I mean, that opens the door for, here's the argument, like people like it. So now one, players can stay in school longer, sort of like the huge stars. And this is kind of, I'm using your example from Stroud's pod. The Joey Lawrences are still going to come out, you know, but the guy that may be a fourth rounder, when I was listening to it, I thought immediately of Peyton Barber. Peyton Barber came out of school early because his mom was homeless and he needed the money to buy his mom a house. Now, he knew he was a day three pick, but if he stayed another year at Auburn, he could have, you know, maybe crawled up into, you know, round, I'm not, can't remember where he was drafted, but round four, maybe even crawled into day two and could have get his mom somewhere to be housed. So that's a great thing. But now this leaves it up for each individual university to set the rules. You can't tell me that, you know, 5-star, 4-star, even 3-star recruits, it's going to be a big decision on schools that just have don't have the state legislation on you. It's just, well, let's see, I want to go to Boise, or I want to go to Utah, we'll say. Well, Utah, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Boise, well, they've already got something, you know, hooked up with. Cause I remember you talked about how the IMG Academy, I believe, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but is already putting something in the works with the University of Miami where everyone on the football team gets paid like a flat rate every week, and the player can decide to take it or not. So if like Boise has that in place and their rules are looser, then, I mean, this is going to be the Wild West, because like if you want better players, the looser your money making rules should be, right? Like
it's
going to be a disaster, Matt.
It has maybe. again, this is all really complicated and it's all new territory. So I think name, image, likeness is going to be one of the factors that recruits consider determining, do I want to go to this school or that? And it should be. That makes sense. But it's not going to be the only one. Look, Trevor Lawrence would have made a lot of money last year had he been able to do this. I am quite sure he would have had a deal with Head and Shoulders because of his glorious, glorious name and what have you. He dude would have gotten paid. But compare what he would have made with his face and that sort of thing at Clemson versus what he's going to get paid with the Jaguars.
Right.
It's not close. The NFL is what's going to pay him the big bucks. And the endorsement opportunities that he'll get in the NFL compared to what he would have gotten at Clemson. That's what's going to make him big bank. And I think it's going to be the same way in a lot of ways with name, image, and likeness. I think some, like I said, some players will definitely say, I have more opportunities at this school, so I'm going to go there rather than this school. And the opportunities could be in terms of what's restricted. It can be in terms of what those players have gotten in the past. It can be the market size. You know, maybe being the top player at Boise is better than being a second string guy for 2 years at Alabama before you have a chance to start. But I think at the end of the day, a lot of players are also going to be looking, okay, where can I get to the league the fastest? And where am I most likely going to get to the league? And spoiler, it's going to be Alabama. It's going to be Clemson. It's going to be Ohio State. Yeah. Those guys are still going to make their money. And those guys are still going to have opportunities there. And they're going to get their players. The Bamas, Ohio State's, and Clemson's are. So I think the name, image, and likeness is just going to be one of the many factors that players are going to consider. Because, look, if you're good enough, someone will want to pay you money for a commercial. That's just what it is.
Yeah. Can players start their own business if they do it around name, image, likeness? So like YouTube, Instagram, or like you said, a football camp. Like, can all that money go in the quarterback's pocket because his face is on the?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And some players already. I don't know of any in the state, but that's not to say there aren't any. But some players have already started their own LLCs. Which I'm not a tax guy. This stuff is out of my league here. But my understanding is that an LLC will make kind of the taxes and that sort of thing easier if you set it up that way. So yes, we're already seeing that. If you are, you know, the one thing I've heard from a lot of people in this topic in college sports is it's all about building your own brand, whatever that is. Getting as many TikTok followers and Instagram followers and Twitter followers, figuring out what it is that makes sense for you to promote, what will get engagement, and then what will make you money. So yeah, we're already seeing athletes kind of start. You know, they've been building their brands for years. It's not a new thing in college athletics, but we're definitely seeing them treat their brands like a business in these 9 days as they go and see where this new opportunity is take them.
Yeah, I mean, there was the player that had he was a kicker. I think
UCF.
The UCF kicker that had to make the decision of whether he wanted to. Kick, or if he wanted to make YouTube videos because he was getting paid for the ad revenue for the YouTube videos, and he ended up having to give up being a kicker so he could continue to make YouTube videos. There was the other player that I saw this week that he had been doing concerts, but he had to do them under an assumed name, so he couldn't use his real name. to hold these concerts, and now he can hold concerts because I guess he's a guitar player that now he have these concerts under his own name and get paid for them over the table. I think it is kind of interesting, and you pretty much answered the question I had about the, you know, the draft, you know, and how this is going to affect the NFL going forward, because I could see this being almost the survival of the fittest. You know, I mean, it seems like the strong programs are going to continue to get stronger and the weak programs are going to fall off to the side. You know, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the Oklahomas, the Texas A&Ms, the LSUs are all going to get, the Floridas, the Florida States are all going to continue to get stronger. How do you see this affecting those colleges that are not in the Power Five? How is this going to affect USF and UCF? How is this going to affect the MAC and the Mountain West clubs?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like a lot of things, the short answer is I don't know, but I can speculate here with some informed speculation. I think UCF honestly is going to be one of the best positioned schools in the country to make this really work.
Don't tell me that, because I hate UCF.
Well, sorry, but look, Orlando's a big market. We know this, right?
Yeah.
It's a pro market, and at the Magic, they have the Magic, but they don't have an NFL team, and so they're one of the biggest cities in the country without an NFL team. So I think UCF matters a lot in Orlando, and because it matters a lot, there's going to be a lot of businesses in Orlando who want to capitalize on that. So I could see Dylan Gabriel being a very, very big deal in terms of name, image, and likeness, or the next Dylan Gabriel or next Mackenzie Milton, whatever it is. USF is a little bit different, just because Tampa is a different market. You know, who's more recognizable in Tampa right now? USF's starting quarterback, whoever that's going to be, Fortin Williams, I don't know.
Exactly, whoever that is.
Right. So who USF's future starting quarterback, is he going to be more marketable in August than Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, Andre Vasilevsky, Victor Hedman, Ryan McDonough? You want to keep going on? Any guys with the Rays, the Bucks? So that's a thing that matters. Now, I'm not saying that the quarterback will not have value, because he will. It's just that it's different. It's just, instead of it being a mass thing, it's more of a niche of a business near USF, or that has a big part of their clientele is USF students. That's where the quarterback is going to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of zooming out of it just as a whole, it's going to depend, like I said, it's going to depend on the market. I think maybe a star player at Toledo could do very well. Toledo's a nice college town. The Rockets are usually a very good program. Maybe that's something that can capitalize more than somebody at a, what's a good example, maybe Colorado State, where there's more to do out there and the Rams aren't necessarily as big. So it's really just going to depend on the market. But I think generally speaking, the schools that are in the quintessential college towns, your Gainesville, Tallahassee, schools like that, I think they're going to be the ones that have the chance to do the most, because being a college athlete there matters the most.
Okay, I have a couple of questions, and then we got to start wrapping this up. This is terribly interesting. Like, honestly, I could sit down and have a couple of beers or a cup of coffee, like you're having, I think, and talk to with this about you for like 3 hours. But life gets in the way. Here's my first one. Are we going to start hearing the every Saturday after the game, the interview, like the kicker, or because he made the big kick? But who are we going to hear from? We're going to hear from the quarterback. Is this going to turn into a driver crawling out of his NASCAR at Daytona 500, where he spits off 17 first? I'd like, instead of thank God and mom and you know, my offensive line, it's M&Ms and Doritos and Billy Bob's Pizza Shack on Central. Like, are we going to, is this what this is going to turn into? This every athlete spitting out five sponsors before they answer the question?
I don't think so. I mean, look, it's not like we see a lot of that in the NFL, and those guys have their own stuff like that too.
Right.
What's going to make this interesting is I don't know about every school, but a lot of schools, there's going to be restrictions on, can I use, we'll say the Gators. Can I do a commercial in Gators gear, or with a Gators hat, or even wearing this shade of blue and orange. At Florida, I believe the rule is that they have to ask permission. And I think from that point, it would be an issue of, okay, well, what is this company? Do we have a deal with a competing sponsor that would not like this?
Like you wouldn't be able to do Papa John's when they've got to deal with Paisano's Pizza and Pies in Gainesville.
Right. That's the type of things. So we'll kind of see where that shakes out. But I would tend to think that in this specific example, kicker kicks the winning field goal. Yeah, I can't wait to go celebrate at the Domino's on 3rd Avenue afterward. I don't think we're going to see that very often. Now, some players might push it, but generally speaking, I don't think so, because the school has rules. You're not supposed to be doing that stuff in uniform unless you have permission. So I would think we would not see very much of that.
Unless, of course, because each program is now left up to their own devices, they waive that.
Yeah, I think there's... And again, because the schools can give that. Florida can allow you to do that. You just have to get permission from it, and you have to do it through a certain way. I don't know if Florida would want cut of that. I'm not privy to that sort of information for almost like a licensing thing. Yes, you can do a commercial wearing our gear, but there's a fee associated with that. Again, I don't have the answers to that. So, but I generally think I don't think we'd see a lot of that.
I lied. I said I had only two more. Now I only have two more. I do this all the time.
This topic as a whole, like one thing just leads to
another.
Regular tentacles.
Yeah,
this is what I've been doing the last couple months.
This is a hydra that you cut one head off and two grow up in its place.
Dude, I swear to God, there's someone standing over a dumpster that is doused in lighter fluid with a match, and they're about to drop it. I cannot wait to watch this happen. As far as like these athletes aren't going to negotiate their own deals, they're going to hire agents. Is there language in place that prevents agents from saying, okay, you sign with me in college, that means you have to sign with me if you go pro?
I don't believe there is this. I don't recall off the top of my head. But let's be real. Everybody knows that's a possibility.
Right.
They're not supposed to be signing anything about kind of their future beyond this. And they can use agents, but they don't have to. There's nothing stopping a player from, company reaches out. That seems fine. Let's do it. Would that be the best idea? No, probably not. And I know there's some kind of there's third parties in this space that their job is just basically being like brokers almost with name, image, and likeness. And some of them, I know there's one in Orlando called Dreamfield. What they do is they hook athletes up to specific places for, again, meet and greets, Q&A sessions, autographs, that type of like live event. And they told me they're very strict. They have their basically a contract that they have vetted that everyone is going to use. So that way they know the athletes are protected. They think to the extent that they can, the companies themselves are protected as well. That's their way to kind of, maybe you don't necessarily need an agent. If you set your own rate and you abide by these rules that we think are negotiated in good faith and protect everybody.
Okay, I lied. Two more again. Sports like baseball, where people are recruited out of high school. When does this start trickling down to high school? And can you see, which is more of a fun question for me, can you see a bidding war for, like, we'll use Joey Lawrence, not Joey Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence, because, I've been saying that for years. I'm terrible. Whoa. Yeah, thank you. Trevor Lawrence coming out of high school. Is there a bidding war on what these universities are going to start using as money? It's like, we've already got this deal in place for you. So now this, be all quarterback who's going to be the first round pick in 3 years is making $500,000 to $1 million before he even signs with a college team.
So the schools themselves cannot broker these deals. The schools are hands off, and there's strict kind of guidelines in terms of what that means. The schools are not supposed to be providing photos of the athletes necessarily for them to use on their Instagram posts or stuff like that if it's sponsored. So there's a clear line. Now, that said, I'm sure name, image, and likeness is a part of every school's recruiting pitch right now. and it's probably more along the lines of, this is the type of network we have. These are the type of deals that athletes have gotten in the past. We can't help you get those deals, but this is some examples of what our athletes have done in the past. So now what will be interesting to see is not necessarily that the schools themselves offer these type of kind of package deals, but what about the boosters themselves?
Yeah.
I mean, the University of Miami, a guy down there, he owns an MMA gym for us.
That was an MMA gym. Yeah.
He started an LLC, like Make the U Great Again or something like that. I can't remember exactly. And maybe it's like this almost this marketing thing. And what if he goes around, gets a bunch of car dealers in Miami and businesses in Miami and longtime Miami supporters to put some money in a pot, and that becomes something that they use to pay players for, again, Instagram posts and what have you. So that they can
fund.
Yeah, so they can go into so Miami players, this is public. People know this. Recruits know this. This is what you do when you come to Miami. This is the type of thing that people have been doing for us. So that's, again, we don't
know. I cannot wait.
I'm telling you, Miami. I can see Luther Campbell down in Miami, getting everybody, you know, a Maserati. Every starting offensive skill player on the University of Miami is going to be driving around South Beach in a Maserati, for crying out loud.
What's going to be interesting is not just the current players, but how does this work with the recruits that come in? You know, right now, it's an interesting topic. Now, in the state and nationally, what's going to happen with high school kids? Are they going to be able to start doing this as well?
Yeah.
To my knowledge right now, the answer is still no, but I could see that changing.
I could see them going after their parents because they're minors. You know, they would, you know, high school kids are minors. So technically you would have to have parents' permission, but who's to say that a parent wouldn't say, oh, what, you're going to give me $50,000, you know, to use my son's name, image and likeness in a kicking, you know, a punt kicking pass competition. Go for it. Yeah.
So right now that would make the student ineligible. And I'm not entirely clear yet what that would mean at the next level as well. Cause this isn't supposed to be about recruiting. It's supposed to be about athletes who are there, but believe me, yes, it will absolutely become a part of recruiting. One of the things that will be interesting to see is, let's, you know, school X wants to pay, start getting deals in place for the five-star athletes to come in.
Right.
It will be interesting to see how long that happens, if indeed it does, because when recruiting is such a hit and miss thing. Yeah. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was the five star among five stars. It was can't miss from like 15 years old. Those guys are not very common.
Yeah.
So it's probably not the best return on your investment to be in putting a lot of money into blue chip recruits. If you're a company, maybe if you have a ton of money to burn, yeah, you can do it. But if you're not at that level where you're not a gazillionaire, you're wealthy but not a trillionaire, how much money are you willing to sink into recruits where it's such a hit and miss thing? I don't know. Like everything else, the answer is I don't know. We'll see.
I'm curious to see how IMG would respond to this.
This is
good. Yeah, IMG is going to be an interesting thing because they're not really an FHSAA school. They kind of do their own thing. I'm not entirely clear on what would happen if an 18 or if a 17 year old senior to be had a deal right now. I don't know what happens to him at the next level, if that's okay, if that's not okay. I'm not clear on that.
What's a FHAA school and why isn't IMG one of them?
So FHSAA is the Florida High School Athletic Association. So
okay.
That's like, I forget how many schools in the state, but that's just about every school in the state that you think of. Plant, Armwood, Tampa Bay Tech, St. Pete Catholic, those type of things.
There we go. Pinellas County, thank you.
That's sure, Clearwater. But IMG is just kind of its own thing. They do things their own way where they're not competing for state championships. They're in the state, but they just do their own thing and aren't affiliated with that association.
Who do they play?
They can play some FHSAA schools, but they can also do national stuff where they can go play the star team, Lowndes, Georgia, or Carmel, Indiana, Jinx, Oklahoma, that sort of
thing. Okay. Okay, well, that's interesting. That could spot into this. Okay, seriously, my last one. How long before we see the Jeffrey Vinnick USF Bulls?
Where he sponsors the entire team?
The entire sports program.
The entire sports program. I mean, there's nothing stopping him from doing it.
Yes.
There's a thing a couple months ago where Michigan State basketball was going to be presented by like Rocket Mortgage or something. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, that was going to be a thing where, like, in theory, every time the school mentioned Michigan State basketball, Michigan State basketball presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Yes.
That's a weird thing. It didn't really last, and I don't think it would. Vinnick with USF would be interesting. Because, look, USF needs the money.
Vinnick's already tied up in USF. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
He is. But if they're going to get – if the Bulls are going to get to where they want to go and where they think they can go, and honestly where I think they can go, they need money. They need money for the indoor that they're working on, for the new football facility. Shoot, they need an on-campus stadium. That's just a thing. I think for them to take the next step to be a UCF, Boise, Cincinnati team that's – you know, team at that level that's always in the mix, they're going to need that, and it's going to take money. And if Mr. Vinnick wants to start – putting money that way to make that happen, it'd be interesting to see how it worked.
Yeah, it certainly would. you got any more? Did one?
I finally got to my last one.
Yay!
Sorry,
I was letting him get everything out of the way because I know Ren had a ton of questions about this for you, Matt, but. We got to bounce out of here, so I want to thank you. I want to mention once again, you can follow Matt on social media. On Twitter, he is at mbakertbtimes, and of course, you can read his stuff at tampabay.com and on the Tampa Bay Times, in the physical paper as well. So I'm gonna wrap up with a college question. You know, if you were to rank the college football programs in this state coming up, you know, because they're going to get started here in about, what would you say, about 7-8 weeks from now. First game of the season is going to get started here. And plus, this is going to be a full season this year. Everybody's got non-conference schedules. It's going to be a very, very cool getting back to normal. How do you think the college football season here in the Sunshine State ranks out?
Yeah, it's crazy to think that in a week and a half I will be in Hoover, Alabama for SEC Media Days, and I am so thankful to have that. But my
person whole, this year
in person, there was nothing last year. It's my whole rhythm has been off, like everybody else, and I'm a very routine person, so to have last year happened the way it did, it's just throwing me completely off. So I'm so thankful to be able to go there. I'm like, okay, season's starting. All right, let's get on autopilot and do what we do. If I were to rank the teams, Florida International is last. USF is second to last.
Oh.
FAU is above them.
Is Kiffin still there?
No, it's Willie Taggart.
No, it's Willie Taggart.
The first former FSU and USF coach. FSU is in the middle there. I think they're going to take a step forward. I don't think it's going to necessarily show up in the win-loss a lot just because their schedule is tough. I mean, Notre Dame, at North Carolina, Florida, Clemson, Miami. They could be 7-5 and have a pretty decent team. UCF, I think, is third. I think UCF is third. I go back and forth on Florida and Miami. Miami, I have never been able to get a read on them. I think if things go very well and De'Aaron King is healthy and the defense takes a step forward from where they were when they were getting run over against North Carolina last year, I think they can win the Coastal. I think they have top 10 potential, or they could drive off of a cliff and neither one would surprise me. The Gators, I don't know, just because I don't have a good read on Emory Jones at quarterback.
Yeah,
he's played, and he's played a decent amount, but I don't have a good enough sample of him in pressure situations, in a rhythm, to know, yes, he's God's gift to quarterbacks, no, he's a bum, bench him, or where in the middle he falls. I guess if I had to say, I trust Mullen more, so I think I would put Florida above Miami, but I don't feel great about it. I think those two are fairly close in my mind.
And last one from me, involving Kyle Trask, seeing as this is the PewterCast. I mean, what are your expectations for Kyle Trask year one with the Bucks?
My expectation is that he sits on the bench, does a great job of holding a clipboard and maybe signaling plays or what have you, and learns from one of the best of all time. Look, Rick and I talked about this plenty on our Sports Day Tampa Bay podcast, this possibility. For a while, we almost joked about it, like, hey, Kyle Trask has some experience being a backup and then playing really well once he had time to learn and get the system. Do you know any guys, any teams that have a longtime starter that might be there but not for long and maybe he could learn for a year or two? So we joked about it, and then it happened, and it was like a holy cow, now what? He's a sharp guy. He is definitely a sharp guy. He knows what he's doing. He makes the right reads. I still have concerns about his arm strength. I don't know that it's good enough to succeed at the next level. Bruce Arians disagrees. He has forgotten more about football than I know. I understand that. But I kind of know, I saw a ton of his games. I saw practices. I saw scrimmages. Mm-hmm. I don't know that the arm strength is there for him to be a high-level NFL quarterback. We'll just have to see. I hate saying that because it's a lame answer. But I'm skeptical that he's going to develop into a star. But we'll see what he's able to do. And whenever he gets that opportunity, I do know this. He's going to be prepared. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to prepare. Goodness, the way he did in his first game at Kentucky a couple of years ago, everything he did since then, he knows how to prepare to get ready. And if he doesn't succeed, it's not going to be because you didn't put in the work and isn't smart. It's just going to be because his talent isn't there. He's not as talented as an Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes or somebody.
There you go. He is Matt Baker of the Tampa Bay Times again. MBaker TV Times on Twitter and at TampaBay.com and the physical paper as well. Matty, thank you, my brother. We appreciate you coming on with us, and we'll do this again here soon.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, right. Matt.
That is Matt Baker of the Tampa Bay Times. So, Ren, as we finish this up, it's going to be a shorty one this week.
Yeah, no problem.
So, let's bounce on out of here, and I'll let you give up the Ren addiction. Where can people find you?
Is there anything that you found interesting that you want to go into further with I already forgot his name, Matt Jones? No.
Matt Baker.
Yeah, just kidding.
You're
terrible with names. If you
you're terrible with
out.
Names, and we yes, and it's so Whoa. Funny. I mean, yes, the Joey Lawrence thing kills me every single years. Time, and I will continue to say whoa every time you do it. I am kind of curious to see how the rich get richer. And yeah. And the poor get poorer, because I have a feeling that all this is going, that the name, image, likeness thing is going to cement Alabama.
It's going to create monsters.
Well, it's going to, I can't see how a team outside of the SEC, the Big Ten, and maybe the ACC ever not wins a national championship in college football as things are currently devised, with the current college football playoff format.
How many times are we going to hear the people on ESPN go, the kids are more, they care more about, they've got their phone in their hands. They're more cared about, TikToking and now, like, if you thought, go
Jay
ahead.
Billis is already, Jay Billis already talked about, I heard him on Rich Eisen last week talking about it being the death of amateurism. And I laugh because amateurism died 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, SMU showed that amateurism is dead in college football.
Pony Express, they're a good team. Best team money could buy.
That's right. I mean, why else would Eric Dickerson go to Dallas, Texas for college?
I just can't wait to see this. And Matt touched on it a little bit. We didn't want to like seriously, like I could do a 3-hour pod and just sort of have this spin off into this and this, because I am interested in sort of what happened to the high school kids. Cause once like, mm-hmm. if someone gets a burr in their saddle, they could take this to the Florida Supreme Court, and there's nothing the Florida could like, I don't see that that not allowing a high school kid to make money on his name is like, I think it's unconstitutional. I don't see really how you can defend it the other way.
The only thing that they will say is that a high school kid is normally under the age of 18. He is a minor, and that you're not allowed.
But you just do minor labor laws. I mean, kid TV stars, kid movie stars, singers.
Well, that'll be the pushback, is that the kid won't be able to profit from his name, image, and likeness, but his parents will.
The family will. Yeah. So there's that. And I'm just want to see how this 5 years down the road, when a Joey Lawrence,
whoa,
does come out, you know, the Tim Tebow, the can't miss guy, because there's one every year. There's a top recruiter, a top three, you know, in the different positions.
Where's Ron Collins when we need him?
Like where this is gonna get crazy. These guys are gonna be guaranteed hundreds of thousands of dollars because, mm-hmm. you know, I know, you know, Matt said that, you know, the universities can't step in. Okay. Hey, Steve, tell 5-star recruit, I'm university, your middle guy. Here's this document that I worked up. Hand this to 5-star recruit for me. And you turn a hand to 5-star recruit. This is going to get bananas, and people are going to freak out. And I'm here for every little bit of it. This is going to completely change big time college sport. And then think about basketball in the Midwest. Basketball.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, like, and it'll trickle down to like very competitive college softball teams.
And that's where IMG comes in for me. You know, I am the IMG Academy in Bradenton. You know, Matt talked about it. It's not part of the Florida State or High School Athletic Association.
In 20 years, I'll be dead, and the Florida High School Association will not exist anymore,
yeah.
because all the high schools will go private.
I can
this,
see.
This is the beginning of the end. Everything's changed, man. Everything is going to change, and I find it fascinating.
It is fascinating. You're seeing the sports world changed in the blink of an eye right in front of our faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right in front of our faces. Nine days ago. Yeah. 9 days ago. There it goes.
Boom. Boom. Welcome to the Wild West, boys. Cause there's no rules in place. There's no rules in place.
Seriously. I'm waiting for Clint Eastwood to come out.
This is crazy. There's no rules in place. The NCAA doing a bang up job as always. Like at the 11th hour, here's our official statement. Do what you want. Unless, you know, your state already has legislation involved. Like, I mean, California, Florida, if that legislation they pass starts to become a deterrent, and, you know, Matt said that he doesn't really believe it yet, it's going to get overturned. It's going to get repealed. It's going to get revoked. Like,
it's going to get revised.
Yes. It's going to be
crazy.
Oh,
crap.
Yeah. And then, I mean, and that was another great point about how USF is in such a huge market with so many tier one premier world superstar athletes. And UCF, you know, your best athlete is what? Goofy?
Mackenzie Milton. It's Shaq from 30 years ago.
Hercules, maybe? I think Hercules, like, you know, Disney's there. Yeah. No. The cartoon Hercules. Like, he's pretty unstoppable. So, I mean, this is all going to be the kid from
Dr. Phillips.
I know he's, you know, Matt said this isn't about recruiting, and I laughed, and I will laugh. Like, this is completely going to be about recruiting. It is going to completely be about recruiting, and all your deals are going to be in place before you get there. And
all you're going to have to do is go look at what our quarterbacks get.
Yeah.
Cause they're going to know.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait, but right. Yes, let's wrap this up. I'm so excited for this.
I know.
I'm going to galaxy brain on it for a couple of days, and I'll come up with some awesome you know,
and then we'll talk about theory. It, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah,
I'm sure. This is something I think that we're going to be able to rehash many times.
Like ESPN should be working on a show, half hour show that goes on every single day just to talk about this, because it's going to be wacky. I mean, you know, Matt knows, because he knows the right people to follow and has the right connections. He talked about how there's like twins, basketball players, and it was somewhere, it's not Boise State, but it was something like that. Like, they've already got a deal. The big time number one female basketball player at UConn, she's already got a deal. I learned about the Oregon deal.
The guy who owns Barstool Sports, Dave Portnoy, has been recruiting all these hot female athletes.
Yeah,
I want all the hot female athletes.
It is the wild west. You can make your fortune. Unfortunately, you got to kind of already have the money. But this is a whole new industry that just opened the door and said, okay, go.
Surprise.
Anyway. All right, we got to go to work. Best place to find me is at the PewterCast on Twitter. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football, blah, blah, blah. Take. DM me. The end.
And you can find me at Steve Carney, stp9.com, where the Rays news and analysis is. I will be at Tropicana Field this weekend. If you see me, give me a shout out. Tell me you saw me on the PewterCast. That way I can tell you that you are awesome. And until next time,
you get nothing.
You lose. Good day, sir. Until next time, are you ready?
I am.
Go fuck yourself.